I want now to talk about money. We talk a lot about relationships on the show, about relationships with self, with loved ones, with spouses, whatever. What about your relationship with money? My guest today is talking to us in depth about our relationship with money, about our relationship as a society with money, as individuals with money, everything. Bust some myths around money. Welcome to the show, Lynn Twist.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad you're here in town. You're going to be at Agape tonight, right?
Not Agape, at the Bodhi Tree Bookstore tonight.
Sorry, at the Bodhi Tree.
I'll be at Agape soon. I can't remember the date, but the Bodhi Tree tonight.
Okay, well, that's why we've got the pleasure of having you in studio today, and I'm so grateful to speak to you. You have an enormous reputation in the spiritual community, and you've done such good for people in this around the world. Lynn has raised a combined $150 million in fundraising efforts for the Hunger Project, for the rainforests. I mean, you are an immense contributor to helping this planet. And first of all, thank you. I honor you.
Oh, thank you. And I honor you.
And I want you to help us work through some stuff here. Let's talk, I'm going to chunk it down here a little bit to the money level. The way that we operate as an economy here, our economy is based on the dollar. It's a service-oriented, I mean, the construction worker builds the building, and then they get paid for that, and the building has tenants, and then they get paid for that, and the tenants have clients, and they get paid for that, and then the clients have other services. You know, it's a constant cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an economy that thrives on money.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we so messed up about it?
Well, I think we have made money more important than human life, and therein is a very fundamental, very tragic, very hurtful lie that we live inside of. We've assigned so much power to money that it's sort of gone beyond what it was really originally designed for. It was designed to facilitate life, to assist us in exchanging our goods and services, in holding us together rather than driving us apart, when it was originally invented 3500 BC approximately. And we give it its power. It has no power. I mean, we forget that all the time, but it has no power. If I held up a Zambian kwacha, you and I would not know what it was worth, so we would give it no power. But if someone told us it was worth $1,000, we would immediately give it that power, and it would start having power over us. And money is an inanimate object. It's an invention. It doesn't grow on trees. It doesn't, you know, fall from the sky. We made it up, and we have become totally at the effect of our own creation.
It's
just like become a monster. And, you know, I don't know Alan Greenspan. I've never met Alan Greenspan. I have no idea who he reports to or how he got his job. But he assigns, you know, money this immense power, and we've gone into total agreement with it. And it's very, very hurtful to give money particularly more importance than human life, which has us do terrible things in the name of money.
But it's how we eat. It's how we live. It's where we get our shelter, our drive, our cars. We have to pay the government money to live.
Well, let me put it another way. We have the opportunity to share with one another all the great resources on Earth, and we use money to facilitate that sharing. It's not that money gets us those things. It's that those things are available to all of us, and money, too, I think, is part of the great commons. It really doesn't belong to you or me or the people who are listening to this program. It's part of the commons. It flows through everybody's life. It flows in, and we all notice, of course, it flows out. But it doesn't really belong to us anyway. We have it for the moment, for the month, for the year, maybe for part of our life, but we're really trustees of something, and the opportunity we have, I think, is to not have money have us, but to us have money, so that we have some control over its flow, and that we send it on when it leaves us towards the highest commitments that we have, rather than getting seduced by a consumer culture that's battering at us all the time, to have it go towards things that we really don't need, really don't want, and are ultimately destructive in many ways to our lives and our culture.
What about the accessibility that we have been drugged by with this money? I mean, you get instant money at an ATM machine, and you can only get it in 20s, and you can pay with a card for this and plastic for that. And I mean, it has become so easy to use it. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a function of what I call a deficit society. We are living in a swimming in debt. We live in the richest country in the world, yet at the same time, this is a country that has a larger debt, a bigger debt than any country in the history of the world. We have a huge, huge, huge debt. It's almost unconfrontable.
Paper.
Mm-hmm. We also, every state in the United States practically is in debt. Very few of them are out of debt. Most cities are in debt. And an average American is $8,000 in credit card debt.
That's all?
That's an average. So we have been swimming in debt, and we live in sort of a deficit mentality that it's okay to drive ourselves into debt. And I think that's a reflection of something called the condition of scarcity, or I call the lie of scarcity, a belief system that I think is false, but nevertheless, it's very rooted in our thinking and our systems, in the way we perceive the world, almost unconsciously. We really believe that there's not enough to go around. And if you believe there's not enough to go around, that someone's going to be left out, then you'll do anything to make sure that someone is not you. You'll even harm and marginalize and discredit some group of people so that you can have enough, because you know somebody's going to get left out, so it's just not going to be you, and those poor suckers, they're unfortunately the ones.
There's all this advertising that's contributing to that, with this buy more, 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 get more, get bigger, do this more.
Right.
I mean, it's showing us that we're not adequate, that we don't have enough.
I don't think it's showing us. I think it's telling us that which is not true.
Well, true.
Because when you swim in consumer culture, as we all do, and a condition of scarcity, messages that say there's not enough, it's not enough, you're not enough, I'm not enough, we're not enough, and more is better, more is better, more is better, more is better. We even wake up in the morning and the first thought we each have probably is, I didn't get enough sleep. We're almost panicked when we wake up. And it's our first thought. It's like an automatic pilot response to life. And then we look at the clock, and the next thought is, oh, I don't have enough time. So it's, I don't have enough. There's not enough. We aren't enough. I'm not enough. And it's a constant battering of our psyche. So we actually start believing, I am not enough. And that's where the deficit society comes in. We start to believe we're in deficit. Not we have problems with our bank account, but there's something wrong with us. Then we have to buy more to fill that void, and the void gets deeper. We get more tied to the void when we accumulate. So one of the things that I think is one of the big traps is the doorway to prosperity and fulfillment is not more, although it looks like it.
Right.
But you go through the doorway of more, and where you end up is an experience of lack and wanting more and then more. But the doorway to prosperity is something I call sufficiency, enough. When you meet your needs or meet yourself, it's almost a way of being I'm talking about now, that is the portal to prosperity, to fulfillment, and ultimately even abundance. Excuse me.
Think about how much stuff is stored in your closet right now that you don't need.
Exactly.
I think about this all the time. If I really want to get something new, and maybe it's something that I really actually need, I make it a point to clean the stuff out that I don't need, that's collecting energy.
Well,
and
you
dust.
Are rare if you do that, because
I've just started doing this, because I get so sick. Well, I have a little baby, and she's crawling around the house now and crawling into things that have been collecting dust on the floor, sitting there, that are absolutely meaningless, like vases. And, you know, I don't need that vase. And so I'm getting rid of everything around the perimeter of things. And it was inspired by my little one. But, I mean, pieces of furniture that really don't have anything in them, gone. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting rid of stuff.
I love it.
Because there's so much baby stuff coming in. But then we have to make room for cribs and cradles. But not really. I mean, it's just a matter of, I'm trying to get the ebb and flow going in
exactly.
the household. Because I'm looking at it, and it's there's dust.
You know, you're not alone in this. People are, their closets are full of stuff they don't wear. Their garages are filled with stuff that they don't want anymore, all destined for landfills ultimately. Yet illogically, even though we have way more stuff than we can possibly use, we want more. We want more.
Mm-hmm.
We want more. We want to get this. We need more money for that. So you can see it's so illogical that it's just got to be a mindset. Because it doesn't make any sense at all for a person who's making $39 million a year to be arguing over a golden parachute to try to get another $10 million. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And we're all like that in whatever scale we're on. Even people who live in trailer parks and who are in motorhomes, they're some of the people who have the most stuff, and yet they're some of them living below the poverty line. So the amount of stuff we have is just, it's choking us. And I suggest the following principle. If you let go of trying to get more of what you don't really need, which is what we're all trying to get more of, it frees up oceans of energy to make a difference with what you have. When you make a difference with what you have, it expands. In other words, in the nourishment of the attention that has been all caught up in the chase, if you turn that attention onto what you already have, your baby, your cat, your relationship with your husband, your friends, the nourishment of your family. You know, you love that little apartment. Oh, yes, you'd like a bigger house, but you love that apartment. If you turn your attention to what you already have, it grows in the nourishment of your attention, and what you appreciate appreciates.
And nature is free.
Exactly.
You can love that immensely forever.
And that's where you actually experience that exquisite distinction of enough. We're moving so fast towards more that we don't even notice when we had enough to eat, when we've had enough sleep, when a conversation is actually over, we're still talking. So it's just endless. And it's a mindset that I'm really insulting, and we can free ourselves from it.
Well, how do we somehow turn this back to the fun drive? I don't mean to make this cliche.
I would love to.
I know
I'm
that
a
you
fundraiser.
Can.
Give me the microphone.
You got
the perfect
it, girl.
Guest for the fun drive. I mean, this gives the people an opportunity to say, hey, I can start to practice this now. Call KPFK. Something I thought I might not have had. I can see what that I maybe do have. And go ahead and donate to KPFK. You guys can call now. Light up the phones. 818-985-5735. I think that this is the perfect guest, Lisa, for the fun drive.
You're hearing the voice of Tony Bates, by the way. He just came into the studio. He's a volunteer coordinator here at KPFK and a wonderful soul. Been a great fan of the Aware
and
Show.
And very handsome.
Big
I can
fan.
See him.
Thank you. That's very kind
he
of
came
you.
In and slipped in, which is impossible for Tony to do because he's a great, he's like a muscly guy.
A presence.
Yes, he's a great presence. And Lynn's like,
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw Lynn off, but it's because I love the Aware Show so much, and I hate to be biased. No, I don't. I'm going to be biased.
Yeah.
I happen to really appreciate the Aware Show and spirituality programming in general on KPFK. Health and spirituality programming, as most of you who are fans of this show know, has been cut recently. And so in order for us to keep this kind of programming on the air, this is the time we pledge. I know we come to you and we ask you guys to support the station regularly, a couple of times a year, three times a year. We did it more this year, but generally three times a year. This is the kind of programming you want on the air. Call the station now, 818-985-5735. You can actually start to put some of the principles into work now that Lynn was speaking of.
What were you talking about, Lynn, in terms of fundraising?
Well, let me just say, I've raised hundreds of millions of dollars. Really, I have. And I've raised that money from people, not necessarily what we would call rich people, but people whose resources are adequate and meet their needs, and they don't have excess. They don't have surplus. The biggest givers in the United States are people who make less than $100,000 a year. Of the $270 billion that was given to charities and not-for-profits, I call them social profit organizations, by the way. I don't want to be in the not-anything sector. We're in the social profit sector.
Great
We're
point.
Making society a better place. But most of the money of the $270 billion, only 5% came from corporations. You'd think they'd be giving a lot more than that, but they're the least generous sector.
Wow.
Only 7% of that $270 billion came from foundations whose purpose it is to give money. But 88% of that money came from people like you and me who are listening to this program, who have soul and money connected, who know that money doesn't really come from your bank account or from your wallet. It comes out of your heart and your soul. And when you have your hand open to give, that's when you can also receive. A closed hand that holds on, a closed hand that's scared to let go, can't receive anything. It's like a fist. So it's in giving that you realize that you have enough. It's in investing or being vested in a program like this, a station like this, that isn't bought and sold by the corporate world. It's our station. It's our voices. It's our messages. It's the messages that nurture us. And we need to take financial responsibility for being vested in that service, and so that we allow it to nourish ourselves and our world. So I'm a huge supporter of this kind of thing. I don't mean in big dollars. I mean in constant, always giving. And I invite everybody to call.
Lynn Twist is my guest, and she has raised money for specific projects that have to do with our world, with the Hunger Project, with the rainforest, with children in indigenous people and women in third world countries, global sustainability, all sorts of things that, you know, Lynn's mission is in alignment with this station. Absolutely. The phones are lighting up. Let's keep going. 818-985-5735 is the phone number. Lynn's book is, she has donated an unlimited amount of books. And it's a $100 pledge. It's a mere $100 pledge for what you're supporting this station for. It's called The Soul of Money. Lynn has some amazing things to talk about in here about transforming a relationship with money.
And if you could see the passion on Lynn's face when she's speaking, you'd grab the book up right away. Believe me, she's so passionate when she's talking. It's beautiful. The book is The Soul of Money, and call now. We have plenty of copies. We have unlimited copies. Lynn is walking the walk, walking the talk, rather, and helping the station out, and you can do the same. Dial up 818-985-KPFK. The book is called The Soul of Money, and you can change your money consciousness by reading this, by learning the principles that Lynn has outlined already. And again, we have an unlimited number of books, 818-985-KPFK. Let's keep spirituality radio and health radio alive on KPFK.
Here's the deal. We have a goal, Lynn. It's a $4,000 goal. We have to make $5,000 during this show. We've only made $1,000 in 45 minutes, and we have $4,000 left to go in 15 minutes.
Okay.
We have some work to do.
Let's
here.
Do it. Well, let me donate $500. I'd like to donate
$500. Oh, my God.
So, oh, my goodness.
I'd like to,
that's not what I meant,
walk my talk, and I think what you do is really important here. And, I, you know, it's not like I have $500 extra dollars sitting in the backseat of my car, and I don't know what to do with it. For me, that's a lot of money. But I feel
very much appreciate
when you
that.
Contribute, you want to stretch a little. You want to feel it in your gut. You want to really know that your money's making a difference. And to think that I could invest in voices like yours going out to thousands and ultimately millions of people makes my heart sing. And I challenge everybody to match me.
Yes. And then how does that work, Tony? People can, too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very, very much. Now we've got
$3,500. Yeah, now it's $3,500.
15
right.
minutes. So now people can, if Lynn donates the $500, people can donate and pay in increments?
Absolutely. There are increments. We will take a credit card, which is MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Discover, and you can pay in increments. You can make installment payments, or you could also have the money taken directly out of your checking account each month. You could pledge the $100, and we will take it directly out of your account for you. And the money, you won't even have to write a check. It'll come directly to us each month. So you could arrange either one of those so that it isn't such a big burden on you, and you're still using the principles of giving and the principles of receiving, because as Lynn said, your hands are open when you're giving.
When you, Lynn, somebody contributed $50 to the Hunger Project, mm-hmm. and that changed your life. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it was in a context of where I had just been at a very, very big company and received a corporate gift for $50,000 in a city in the Midwest. And the exchange I had with the CEO of the corporation was very unsatisfactory, because the corporation was only giving the money to end world hunger because they had done some terrible, terrible, terrible things. It was a food company. And they had gotten caught, and the media was all over them. So when the man handed me this $50,000 check across his desk, what came across the desk with that $50,000 was the guilt and the shame of that company. And suddenly then I had it in my hands, our organization had it, and I felt like it was toxic and poison. And I put it in my briefcase, and then I went on a plane to New York, where I had a opportunity to do a fundraising event in Harlem in the basement of a church for my friend Peter, an African-American man that I knew. And once I got to this church, I first of all, it was a long trek across the country, and then getting a cab in New York when it was raining, etc. But I finally got to the church in Harlem. I went down the little cement steps into the church basement. It was raining like crazy. There were leaks all over the place and buckets all over the floor. But there were also 75 absolutely exquisite African-American people sitting there waiting for me to come. I was about 20 minutes late. I walked up to the front. I was the only white face in the crowd, and I started talking about Africa. And after this horrendously unsatisfying interaction with the CEO, I was so blessed to be with people who were actually there to learn, to open their hearts, to understand about ending world hunger. So at a certain point, it was time, after I did my, you know, kind of presentation, to ask for money. And I was worried, you know, maybe this wasn't the place I should ask for money. These people really didn't look like they had anything extra. However, I knew it was important to honor them and to ask, and so I did, and it was dead silence except for the drip, 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 drip in the buckets around the edges of the room. But then a woman who was sitting in the second row from the back stood up, erect, tall, elegant, beautiful, a black woman with gray hair. She was about 65 years old, I'd say, or 66. She had a uniform on under her raincoat and a purse on her arm, and she stood up and she said, "I like you," she said, "my name is Gertrude, and I like you, and I like what you've said. And you know, money is just like water. It doesn't belong to us. It flows through our lives and out again, and it really belongs to everybody or nobody. But it comes into our lives, for me, like a little trickle, for others like a rushing river. But I know it's my responsibility to send it on where it'll do the most good for the most folks. So I'm going to give the $50 I earned today doing wash to you." And she walked up the aisle with her $50 and handed it to me. And it was fives and ones and tens.
Aww.
And I had it in my hands. And then I ended up realizing I needed to have a container. So I opened the briefcase in which the $50,000 check was laying on the bottom. And then the whole congregation streamed forward with their fives, with their tens, with their ones. And I, my briefcase became like a giving bowl. And at the end of the evening, I was crying, I was in tears, I was so moved by these people. And I went back home to my hotel, not home, I was in New York, and I counted the money. It was something like $400. But I knew the $50 that Gertrude gave came straight out of her heart, and it would do more work for the end of hunger than that $50,000 would.
Because of the energy with it.
The energy that it carried,
the
heart, the love, and the soul, and the beauty. And so the next morning, I sent the $50,000 back.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And I sent it back with a letter telling the man that I had enjoyed meeting him, but I could feel that the money wasn't really truly a contribution, that it was like a payoff, and that we just really didn't want to be part of that, and that we hoped that he would make a contribution someday to ending world hunger. And 5 years later, the man, the CEO, had left the company. He wrote me a letter, said, "I never forgot that interaction. I've never had anybody return $50,000 to my company before. I don't work there anymore. I've retired. I did very, very well. I've watched the progress of Ending World Hunger. I've watched the progress of your organization. And enclosed is my check from my own pocket, from my own heart, from my own respect for what you are all doing and my own commitment to be part of it."
What a story.
For $250,000.
Oh, my God.
That gave me chills. What a great story.
Wow.
And so, Gertrude.
$50,000 a year of guilt. That is awesome.
I think it wasn't guilt money. I think it was really a contribution. And I think Gertrude raised that money by teaching me what money really means.
What a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Wow,
that
you guys
does
call
it.
Up. That,
that
is a great story,
yeah.
Lynn.
So everybody can be a Gertrude out there. Everybody can, and let that money that flows through your life go to the highest commitments you have, and I'm sure this program is one of them.
It's 818-985-KPFK. We only have a few minutes left in the program, and we're trying to get to $5,000. Give us a hand.
We need
Where
30
else?
People to call and pick up Lynn Twist's book. It's a $100 donation. We need $3,000 left to run to end this hour, and we have 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes to do it. 818-985-KPFK. Now is the time to light those phone lines up. We have 12 lines down there. If we can fill them up three times, then we've done it. Give us a call at the $100 level, and you can also add 100 to that and get this incredible film club, 100-plus films during the year.
Yeah, it was absolutely wonderful. This year, people saw 103 films. The film club, you get 12 months of movies, two tickets, and you get to go to over 100 films. They're first release regular movies in theaters, generally on the West Side. But call up and remember that you can pay in installments Call. The name of Lynn's book, first of all, is The Soul of Money. So
they just tell me we're $850 away from meeting our whole amount.
All right.
So
that's so great.
We've
this
got 6 minutes.
Fun.
Come
for
on, guys.
I love this.
I want to tell you guys, if you guys could feel the passion of this woman, Lynn,
I'm telling you, all this see it. The passion of this group.
The name of her book, again, is The Soul of Money.
I promise you, if you read my book, money will flow in your life even more. Really, really. And it only costs $100 to get it from the station. And I promise you, it'll come back to you 100-fold.
And her book is donated, I mean, is endorsed by Dean Ornish and
Jane Goodall
and Marianne Williamson and also
my goodness.
How is that, real quick? I just so much to ask you, but how do you, when you give money, how does that work out in some mystical way that you wind up receiving twice the amount?
Well, you can't do it to get more, because then that's the condition of scarcity playing itself out. But you can do it if you do it as an expression of your wholeness, your enoughness, the blessing that your life is, the blessing of this program. It's an expression. You know, you don't experience love unless you give love. You don't experience actually your sufficiency and wholeness until you express it. And contribution, I call it investment, because people are vested in their spirituality,
true,
their consciousness, their awareness. And once you give money to something, you become the author. You become a financial stakeholder. You become almost like one of the people who's accountable for that energy in the world. So I really, I know that it sounds like a trick, but it's not a trick. It's actually the way life works. So if you think about it, when you give happiness, you realize you have the happiness. But not until you express that happiness is it there for you. It's just the same with money.
Let me read the last sentence in Lynn's book, which I found absolutely terrific. She said, and I should let her do this, but she says, I challenge you to imbue your money with soul, your soul, and let it stand for who you are, your love, your heart, your word, and your humanity. Call now, 818-985. Put soul into your money. Come on, help
us
out.
Part,
Lynn, that's fantastic. I'm telling you, I got chills again when I read it, so that's terrific.
It's definitely beautiful.
You know why I think money's called currency? Because there's a current that runs through it that we give
it.
We give it soul, we give it love, we give it power. We give it its power. It has no power. We give it that power, and we can give it the power of consciousness and awareness by investing in this program.
Absolutely. 818-985-KPFK. Tony?
Call up, everyone. 818-985-KPFK. And again, I just want us to remember that in order for us to have this kind of programming, we have to support this. We have about 3 minutes left.
Great.
We
so
can do
those
it.
Of you
how
who
much
are
do
fans,
we have to go?
Call up.
We have $500 to go.
Oh,
$500 lousy dollars will have met and exceeded our goal.
But let's go for 10 people to call.
Yes. Yes.
Again, five people doing $100 would do it, right?
Uh-huh.
10 people doing
$50.
Yes.
Exactly. There's all kinds of combinations.
20 people doing $25.
That would work.
Yes. And there are all of the CDs that Lisa mentioned earlier. We still have the Where We Live CD for a $25 pledge if you want to get that CD. It held all of the various artists, Willie Nelson, Nora Jones, Michael Fronte, several different artists. I think Ruben Blades is on there as well. But of course, for $100, The Soul of Money.
This is
a
amazing
wonderful book.
This is just
great
terrific.
Book. And thank you for donating this too, Lynn Twist. You've been just incredible. Of course, you're continuing to give to the station as you're walking
yes.
your talk here. And I think that the concepts around money that we have, even if it's something that you think is flowing into your life, but you see your loved ones challenged with, buy the book for a friend and give it to somebody in just a wonderful giving way. Holidays are coming up. You'll receive it right around that time. And you can give it to someone who you love. Buy a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
Only 1 minute to go.
818-985-5735 is the phone number to call.
If somebody gives $500, do they get 5 books?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, well, someone could get $500. Let's do that.
Great
absolutely.
Present.
I love the way you think. Let Lynn Twist be your example. Come on. She's walking your talk. 818-985-5735. Let's go out with a big bang. Your listeners are terrific. We have the best listeners in the business.
We do have. Thank you, KPFK listeners. Thank you, Aware Show listeners. And again, this guest. Lisa has this quality of guest on this program all of the time, though I think this one might be a little special. But
she has
great guests on, so support the Aware Show, KPFK, at the same time, 818-985-KPFK. We have 1 minute left, and again, Lynn's book is The Soul of Money, and Lisa has all of the CDs she mentioned earlier. She has the Aware Show pack. There was a Michael Franti CD.
The Universal Love CD, Carolyn Mace's Meditation Music CD, and the Buddha Cafe. I also wanted you all to know Lynn Twist is going to be at the Bodhi Tree Bookstore tonight, 7 p.m. If you're not doing anything or cancel what you're doing, go to the Bodhi Tree tonight. It's on Melrose, 8585 Melrose Avenue in West Hollywood. She's going to be speaking, and she's going to do book signings and so forth. And you can also check out her website at soulofmoney.org, right?
Yes, soulofmoney.org. That's
and
right.
You've been an amazing blessing.
Well, I hope we made our target. Did we make our target?
We are $50 away from making the target, so that's all we have to do. Somebody please out there donate
$50. $50. I almost want to do it myself.
You already did.
Thank you very much, Lynn Twist.
All right,
and
thank you.
The phone number, 818-985-5735. Keep those phone lines coming. And while I'm committed to bringing you the clearest information possible in the end, I always encourage you to listen to your own truth. Until tomorrow, I invite you to stay aware.